I used to love my morning coffee until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it just wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Now I get my morning ritual without the crash or the discomfort. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, you could win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Jumping Knee Pod, a modern-day Odd Fan Pro Wrestling podcast. I'm your host, Jessica, and today joining me once again is Dr. Jonathan.
Hi, I'm really glad just to be back on here and really excited to be getting into what we have to talk about today. We've got some great stuff to go over.
So unlike other episodes, we don't have a ton of shows to cover. We only have three. But like, oh my gosh, like you said, there's a lot to talk about, especially about one man in particular. And I know you really want to talk to him and we'll get to him very, very soon. So just wait a little bit.
Can't wait to go to Shiozaki.
Oh my God. Yes. Okay. Let's just start with day one because that's where he shows up. So we had Jun Sato, Naruki Doi, and Senior Sato defeat Kengo Mashimo, Sega Tachibana, and Kara Sato. Hokuto Omori, Kumo Arashi, and Kurisho Tokyo Japan defeated ATM, Dan Tamura, and Shota Kafuji. Ryzen Haito and Ricky Honda defeated Musashi and Rana Yabe. Go Shiozaki and Shota Oshino defeated Hideki Suzuki and Kento Mihara. In the junior title match, Asuka Yagi defeated Ryu Inoue. And in the main event, we had tag team titles. Sion and Odyssey defeated Yuma Aoyagi and Yuma Anzai. Quickly, before we get to go, I do want to talk about the junior match, just get out of the way. I thought it was pretty good. I do think it suffered though, coming after the shock of Go, because like the fans were riled up about that. Something didn't click for me in this match with the others. I don't like this venue. I think the venue impacted that as well, because like it's just so big and so loud, and the crowd kind of like escapes like the noise in them. I do feel like Inoue and Asuka just need something more. I know I spoke about it in the the junior tournament that Asuka needs something like a little bit more. But anyway, I don't like his new gear. I can't stand it. Like he's had the black and gold color scheme for so long. I really liked when he had the shorts and the jacket and the glasses and like that asshole attitude. I think it really suits him. And now he's here and like he's lost all that edge and coolness to him. It doesn't work for me. Asuka, on the other hand, like he's a great wrestler and I'm happy he's holding the belt because like I believe he's a junior ace, but he just needs something more. Like his buddies, he like came through training, Dan, Haito and Hokuto, they've all eclipsed him in character wise. Like he's just a mini Aoyagi, he's a mini Yuma. But all that to say, it was good. Hikaru Sato is out to challenge next. And I think they actually had the match. And Asuka won. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I think you're correct there. It's a shame because I just really want to see Inoue get that big win. And I felt really kind of watching this, really wanting that, knowing it's not going to happen. And I feel like that's just happened too many times with this guy at this point. I really want to see him get that signature win. Like he's had a couple of wins, but I think he needs the big signature victory. And there was another match that was kind of, you know, later on to this, we might get into it, but another one with him where I very much felt the same way.
Yeah. This character is a no-go for me, but if you remember last year, at the New Year's Eve show, just how crazy fans were going for him, and just like what an impact he made, just like trying to destroy Yuma Anzai. That was like the best kind of anyway, and we lost that.
I can't remember who was that made the point. Oh, it would have been it was Irv actually said that this pairing between Yuma Anzai and Inoue has the potential to be a new Kawada Misawa kind of generational rivalry where, these guys went through the dojo at the same time. You can do this one for years and have it all built around the fact that Inoue is obsessed with beating Anzai. Like, that could be great. And yeah, that was it. We'll talk more about them later. Okay, I'm being way ahead of myself, but yeah, like he that match is I've run out of good things to say about that match as far as the All Asia tag title thing from last year. I'd love them just to run that back sometime.
Definitely. So I know you want to talk about Go, but just quickly a little backstory. So if you don't know, at the press conference, Zion said the new member of Havoc was someone Hideki knew, but Kento didn't. So to me and a lot of other people, we thought that this means another NXT reject is incoming. I did have a feeling though that whoever is a new member will be Kento's first defense of the Triple Crown at All Japan's anniversary show. So I was thinking, like, who the hell is big enough who was just released from NXT to go for the Triple Crown? And like, nobody. Then a video came out saying Kento did know who the mystery opponent was, and it was Goshi Ozaki, obviously. He recently left Noah and he has a connection to Kento and Hideki. He came out in a mask with his hood up, and when he unmasked, it was a lot of cheering. It was like at a concert, like the fans were going crazy for him. Full cards on the table. I am a Go fan. He was my favorite when I was watching Noah. He is a guy who got me into Noah. He was like my first match I ever saw in Noah, him versus Nakajima. So I do have a soft spot for the guy. So seeing him show up in All Japan after so many years just made me so happy. The match was nothing. It was over in less than 4 minutes by DQ. Kendo destroyed Go, which surprised me since normally when someone comes in, they'll destroy Kento or whoever they're against. But yeah, Kento's just like, yeah, I'm just going to destroy you with this chair. Yeah, Go. I know you want to talk about Go, Jonathan, so just go.
Oh yeah, like that. So that was awesome. I thought that was actually a really great angle that they did. Like, it was like Kento was so, I gotta conduct myself here and try to like think of how to structure my thoughts logically here. Give me a second. So Kento normally is the ace who has, he's over the top and everything like that, super charismatic, but we don't normally see Kento lose it, get absolutely cranky like this and have that mask come off, and we saw that here, and that was awesome. Just the angle with the chair and everything like that, and then establishing that backstory in what was really just a few minutes, really. And I did not expect to see Goshi Ozaki in All Japan, like when he left Noah. This is someone who means a lot to me as well, as far as wrestling goes. Like, I loved his. I got into Noah around the time. Well, I got back into Noah, I should say. Really, in a big way, back in the pandemic, like in 2020, we had extra time at home. We had time to watch. That was on a Bima, and yeah, just watching their stuff then, like when Go was champion and carrying that belt for a very long time and injuring himself pretty badly in the process. Just the matches he had up and down in that reign is fantastic. And I write about him a lot in my book about pro wrestling Noah. We just had the crowdfunding campaign finish for that one. And yeah, I had to dive into what makes Go tick a little bit in that one, and utterly just a lot of love for the guy. He obviously has jumped around a little bit in his career from All Japan and Noah and back again, and he is Noah guy through and through, and so it's interesting to see him in dynamics wise here in All Japan. But I think this is something I'd hoped might happen. His role in Noah had been him doing these shows where he was the one producing them. It was the Limit Break shows. That was just him bringing in and booking friends of his and people from all across the indies, and they were some of the best Noah shows. So watching that and watching those shows the way they were structured, I was like, he could do very well in All Japan, was my thought at the time. So I'm glad that we actually get to see this happen, despite me not ex expecting it necessarily. And yeah, the match that we'll talk about later, I think was the best match that they could have done for him. And yeah, more on that later.
Yeah. When the head Zion say it's someone Hideki doesn't like, Kento doesn't know, but Hideki does, did you think another NXT person was coming in?
I thought for sure that it would be an American or someone that had kind of that tie, but yeah, it definitely surprised me that Go was in Havoc. It was an odd choice, I thought at first, as far as him being in that faction, but somehow it works. I don't know particularly why. And look, there are other people in this faction that I'm not a big fan of, like to get out of the way. With this, I'm not watching any of Odyssey's matches, not really. I love everyone else that's in that faction, and yeah, I think to see Go teaming with Ushino going forward is maybe we'll have more to say about all that too.
Yeah. The thing is, like, I know people like he's in the worst faction in All Japan, he's in the heel faction. But if you look at the posts they put on Twitter, they're like just the cutest faction ever. They're going out for ice cream with like Talos and doing all these like really just non-threatening, non-heel videos. It's actually really cute. Like you said, like I just I'm at Odyssey. But like the three of them, the other three, I don't know. I just really like their videos and stuff.
Yeah, and like these guys are all, with the exception of Odyssey people, I want to see Zion. Like, people have a funny thing with Zion, but the guy is really, really good for someone who, especially for someone who has the experience that he has. Like, definitely, clearly loves All Japan, and man, just our countryman and stuff like that. We can claim him like that. So, and yeah, I think like to see Ashino and Go team together, I think we're going to see that they will have chemistry that I don't think people are expecting them to have. And it comes at a great point that this has been a need there for Ashino to have a new kind of role in this company. We'll get into all that too. But this faction has been something he sorely needed. So it's not even the worst faction in all Japan. Right now, like there are so many worse ones as far as this goes.
What's the worst one?
Bucking no Jedi, no competition there. We've already got a comedy faction in Hokuto-gun that does the same thing but better. We don't need a second comedy faction. Well, especially one that barely teams up and that gets Suwama leaving it like that. I don't think there's a need for that anymore, and they seem to not really be working together anymore. So I pick the worst. Definitely, I don't know. I can't really say that as far as this faction goes. I can't really say that it's the best. At least Havoc have given Ushino a new push, a new lease on life, and again, if not for one member, is a very good faction. And I don't know, I've said before, just replace Odyssey with Dan Tamura and you've got the best faction in all Japan easily.
I always thought, I was saying this with Luna last month. I thought Rei Inoue, when he was like that asshole stage, would be a
Yeah,
good
so
member of Havoc.
and you were right, yeah, and you should have said so. That would also be interesting because you've got then, like, he has a vendetta obviously against Anzai, and he used to team with Kanto. So putting him in Goshi Ozaki's faction has an interesting dynamic with both of those men as well. And I don't know, in a way, he also just has that kind of crazed energy that this faction's going for. I don't know. I say book it. Like,
I do like that they came out for the tag team title match. So for Zion Odyssey, they were wrestling. They won. They did have Go and Ishino. So there seems to be like, a faction that really stick together instead of just having one member go out and everyone else stays in the back.
I mean, it was a bit funny that they do that in the entrance ramp. Like they do it in the entrance way and then they kind of leave Go on his own. Like kind of like, we're with you, we support you all the way up the ramp.
Once you defeat Kento, we'll be there with you. Let's talk about Gomor in day two. We had Dantanra defeat Shochikafuji, Seiga Tachibana defeated Kikutaro, Hokuto Omori and Kuma Arashi defeated Hikaru Saito and Rei Inoue, Hideki Suzuki, Musashi, and Seki Yoshioka defeated Asuka Yoyagi, Ranayabe, and Raizen Hayato. Nayu Nomura defeated Riki Honda, and in the main event, Goshi Iwazaki, Odyssey, Shota Ishino, and Zion defeated Jun Saito, Kenta Miyahara, Yuma Anzai, and Yuma Aoyagi. Where would you like to start?
Actually, maybe from the very beginning, what do you think of Shota Kafuji?
I really like him. I think he's a really, really good addition to All Japan, and I really like this match with Dan. I believe I actually said that this with Luna as well, that he's been getting so many single matches. Like, I feel like it has to be a trial of some sort.
That would be like he would be my number one pick, I think, to in terms of people I think we're going to see signing in January. That to me is a no-brainer. He's so good. He's got less than a year's experience as well. And Dan Tamura, man, I run out of great ways of like describing him. He's so good. And I think this has been a good year for him as well, performance-wise. Like I think we've seen him definitely step that up. I wish that was matched with his push in some more ways, but yeah, definitely thought this is a good pairing.
Oh yeah, I really like this match, and they worked well together. I think Kafuji is like a really little good underdog fighter, and the fans really eat it up, especially for this show. It was at Shinkiba, and I hope I can speak for you, but we really want to go to this venue, don't we, Jonathan?
Have never been like so the day that they've announced, so just completely independent of one another, like how many people from this show are going to be over there from this podcast, going to be over in Japan at the same time?
All the Australians on this podcast will be in Japan.
Yeah, that's a rule, I think. If you've been on this podcast and you're Australian, you all have to be over in December, January. And they've announced that. That show, the Fan Appreciation Day, I think it's the end of January anyway. Not the end of January, sorry, but it's sort of latter part of well, I'll be over there, but that's at a point where I'm meant to be in a completely different city. So
Same.
yeah, the one time, oh wait, is that Shinkiba though, or is that Shinjuku face?
Let me check it out. Last time it was in Shinjuku Face and it sold out so quickly.
In any event, yeah, I'm disappointed I can't make it, but we'll be there for
Now
the
it's in Shinkiba.
yeah, see, that would be a perfect layup right there to be able to experience Shinkiba. It looks like a cool venue, and yeah, just haven't been yet.
Yeah, I definitely want to go. It just seems like in the same venue. Yeah, anyway, about Kafuji, like I really hope to see him in a tracksuit in All Japan. And I know people would say like that he's already signed to something. And for that, I would say look at Raizen Hayato. He has a dual contract. Why can't Kafuji?
And just look at how well he's done with that as well. And I mean, all you need to do is simply allow those dates for Kafuji to. It's not like OSW runs that frequently, right? Like, unless I'm missing something, they don't seem to have that many dates that he'd miss.
I don't know. There's more Kafuji in the show. A big moment for him coming up. We'll get to soon. Before that, I do want to talk about Honda and Nomura. So, you wouldn't think they were a tag team the way the match went. I feel like they hated each other. Like from the first spell, they were going at it, like hard and strong elbows flying. There was a bit in the middle. So tell me if you think this as well. Where I thought Honda was like knocked goofy. Like it wasn't a full-on concussion, but like he was struggling to get up. And I thought for sure he was doing that Yuma bit. You know where Yuma fakes being injured and then suddenly gets up and suplexes you or rolls you up or something. But like, no. Like I thought he'll do it the first time, not second time, not. I'm like, okay. Like it's kind of freaking me out a bit. It was a while before he got back to his regular self. But like apart from that, the second half of this match was even more brutal than the first, thanks to the barrage of elbows Nomura dished out. I'm like, Nomura, stop. Like, stop hurting Honda. Leave him alone. He's your tag team partner. Honda had a beautiful lariat, but like, Nomura is just unstoppable here. They walk to the back together, confirming like they are a tag team. And it just like
The
confirms my
first time it looked
suspicions.
like it, yeah.
Yeah. It just confirms my suspicions that tag team partners just go harder when it's a single match with each other than just a regular opponent. But yeah, apart from the middle weird Honda bit, it was a really, really good match.
I love that middle weird Honda bit. Maybe I'm a sadist or something, but just to see this kind of stiffness back to All Japan is something that's really cool to see. Again, we're playing the game of sign up this guy, sign up that guy, but Nomura, someone else I would love to see put on that tracksuit. But I was glad that they, at one point I did think that they were maybe going to stop the match. I thought perhaps that Honda had been knocked out, that goofy that we're about to see the ref call. And so it was thankful that that didn't happen and he finished. And like, again, very first time you thought these guys were actual tag team was when they helped each other to the back.
Yeah, I we have seen Honda knocked out, unfortunately, on Live All Japan show. Seeing this happen again, it wasn't like as bad as when he was actually knocked out and people had to roll him into the ring and pin him. But yeah, it's a little bit scary. I don't know if that was like just Honda being Honda or like he was legit knocked goofy.
Yeah, I mean, th thankfully the match continued, so.
Yeah.
And like I don't mind seeing some of this, like some stiffness and everything, and as long as like it gets to a point that they can continue and gets to a point that no one's seriously injured, I'd say let it fly.
Oh yeah, if you like stiffness, this is like the match for you because Nomura went insane in this match, especially the second half. Before I get to the main event, I just want to say it was so funny, the team of Ren Abe, Asuka, and Rising Hayato. Just this tall guy who's just such he seems like such an introvert with like, Asuka, who's just like the loudest guy out there, and Hayato, who just doesn't care about anything. If they become like a faction, I'm not gonna complain.
I think it's also a faction that, we've already see we lost. I felt like what was the best faction before in terms of when El Pida broke up. My only thing with that is maybe they felt like it perhaps had run its course with the whole thing with these guys being as successful as they were. That maybe the purpose of this faction being that they needed to be a success, that they needed to propel each other to success, and they've done that, but. Yeah, just I think if that's not going to go ahead and if LP is done, then I think that's the second best that you could do with those three guys. And it would really give them, just a little bit of something extra for that. Like if we're talking about what potential factions are there.
Yeah, because I kind of feel like a lot of people are just floating around, just like, I'm a part of this faction, not really. Like, I just team with these guys, but I'm not with them, or like, I'm not even in a faction. Like, All Japan aren't really strict with factions like other companies are. And a lot of factions break up really quickly, like you said, like El Pida. And like, looking back, like Runaway Suplex and Jin and stuff, like, they were really, really short lived. While you have something like Evolution and Next Dream going for years and years and years and just like fizzle out in the end. I like to see more factions, but like just like keep them around a little bit longer.
Yeah, like if you were to introduce a faction with them and formally end whatever's happening with some of the other factions, we could actually get something going long term there. But like these guys are really, really good ambassadors as far as like young members of the company, and being the future of it as well as the present is an interesting dynamic for those guys.
So, what did you think of the main event the first time we had all four members of Havoc together?
This was a tricky one because I don't really want to be watching any of the matches with Odyssey in them, but like these are hard decisions to make. Because I thought like seeing the interaction between Go and Kento was obviously the highlight as far as kind of them bringing him in and the first full match really that he got a chance to have.
Yeah.
As a good main event for this type of show.
Yeah, the fans are going crazy for it. Like you, I watched bits and pieces of the main event. I just didn't see my boy go. Pissed off Kento is always the best Kento, and just the, a good time. So that was great.
Tell me about the way, like when he does the spot where he dives out of the ring with the guy and he sort of Irish whips them into the barricade, or then beats them up and throws them back into the ring. Like something about that is awesome. He manages to make that look like he's about to we're about to see a murder take place.
He's like perfected it because he does it like in every message. He has it down to like a fine T. I did like Go and Yuma going at it. It was like a battle of Kento's former tag team partners.
I want to see that match at some point. Like singles between them would be awesome. And I feel like those guys would have instant chemistry as well.
Yeah. I think they need to make Havoc look strong. Go had that match with Kento coming up. They're really pushing Havoc. They're tag team champions. Ishino's there. But I actually liked the other team, the team they were versing. So like, you had Kento, you had the two Yumas, you had like June. That is like a modern day All Japan like dream team, to be honest, I think.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's a cool dynamic too, with the whole like Havoc almost feeling like outsiders in its way.
Yeah, true. Yeah, like going up against like All Japan mainstays. Yeah, I didn't think of that. Yeah, good point. And just a quick note, I said like, I did really like this dream team, but like I do miss Ray with his brother, so like hurry up and don't get injured again.
Yeah, he's been on some of the shows though in like non-wrestling roles. Like he did commentary the other day. He's done. There was a live appearance he did where he sang in the ring at one point. So he's been around. It's just I want him to maybe shuffle off the TV for a while so he can concentrate on getting back in the ring. Like I want him back sooner rather than later. Maybe
Yeah.
that's the problem. Maybe I need to be more patient than that.
Like, I think it's nice that they're giving Ray like still TV time. If he wants to be there, he can be there. But yeah, I'm like, let him rest.
Yeah.
I like we'll get to it like very, very soon. The moment where Yuma is versing Kofuji in the next show and he like licks his hand like Ray does, as a sign like, I see you, Ray, you're there. I'm acknowledging you. It was really cute.
And Ray could not, maybe we could segue into that one because Ray was so funny. He was pissing himself laughing on commentary. He couldn't hold that together.
Yeah, so well, yeah, I should actually introduce day three so I can get to it. So we start with Yuma. He defeated Shota Kafuji, Hokuto Mori, Kuma Arashi, Takashi, Kurisho Tokyo Japan, and Sega Tachibana. Defeated Dan Tamura, Kara Sato, Yuko Miyamoto, Jun Sato, and Naruki Doi. Odyssey, Shota Ishino, and Zion defeated Fuminori Abe, Hideki Suzuki, and Kengo Mashimo. Rene Abe and Talos, who is back, defeated Nai Nomura and Riki Honda. Yuma Anzai defeated Rei Inoue in the all-age title match. Musashi and Seki Yoshioka defeated Rising Haito and Asuki Oyagi to retain. And in the Triple Crown title match, Kento Miihara defeated Go Shiozaki. So yeah, back to Kofuji. I think it was another good match for him, like another singles match, which makes me think like, yes, this is a trial, especially against Yuma. But yeah, Yuma just messing with Rei, and Rei is just, he has the worst poker face. He cannot help it. June is just a little bit better, but he cracks up too. Like, it's just another reason why I love Ray, because he can't keep it together.
Relatable. That was such a good match too. Like those two, it felt as though Yuma was allowing for this point, for where he is at right now, as far as allowing Shota Kafuji to get his stuff in and to show what he can do. I feel like Yuma did a lot for him here.
Exactly. Yeah. I have the same note. Like, even Yuma getting the crowd to boo him just so they can cheer Shota that much more. It's just, yeah, perfection from him.
And I mean, also just, I felt like the match, I don't know what the timing on that one was, but it felt like it went longer than it could have, which is good. Like it felt like this is, you mentioned it kind of being like a trial series. It's really, he's getting the best experience he could as far as the on the job training almost with the guys he's faced on this tour alone.
It just went for under 10 minutes, 9.5 minutes.
Good time for an opener, really.
Yeah. And like you said, I don't know, maybe Kofuji's in the dojo with Yuma and the other guys. Yeah, because just like with Dan, they worked really, really well together.
And Yuma being one of the guys that trains everyone too. Could well be that.
Yeah, I don't see why not. Like I'm just gonna say this again because it's Yuma and a lot of people give him shit. But look at the people who are there now, like Inoue, Anzai, the Saito brothers, they're all trained by Yuma.
Yeah, underrated in terms of his training game.
Yeah. Hopefully people I don't know, kind of give him, I don't know, a little bit more props because I don't see anybody except for like people on this podcast say like, hey, Yuma's pretty good, especially as like the dojo coach.
One of the best wrestlers out there, really. I think because of his inherent goofiness and stuff like that, that people kind of talk about him in a way where they just forget how great he is in the ring and just how talented. I think he's been on a real tear lately, though, and had a really sneakily good 2025 in terms of his in-ring. And I don't know, I kind of hope to see him at some point back to the Triple Crown title, because I think he could absolutely. I don't feel like we've had the kind of humor run that we could have yet, is my suspicion with him.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also with how his 2025 is going to end with his tag team with the other Yuma, that could be really interesting and seeing like where that takes him to in his career. If that like is actually going to be like a new tag team, like they could win the belts or they could just do this one thing and split. Like, I don't know. I'm excited to see where it goes.
And that just could be a great tag team too, just in terms of the participants involved and everything like that. Like, those matches will be great.
Like if you look at his tag team so far, he had business tag with Kento, he had Nomoyaki with Nomura, and now he's like team with Anzai. I'm just like he has fantastic tag partners. Like he's really good at picking tag partners. Oh, and he also had that tag team with Jake Lee. I forgot the name they gave each other, but yeah, he had that tag team too.
Those are really great matches too. There was a time when you very briefly had all the Next Dream members in because Nomura was coming back to do some shows for All Japan. Jake hadn't left yet. And so you had a couple of tag matches with all four of them toward the end of 2022.
It was the second last show of the year, so they did a Christmas Day show where they had like New Japan wrestlers show up. Yeah, but the show before that they had all those four, and I think they drew out like colored balls to see who'd be tagging with each other. So if you have AJPW.TV, like look that up because that was a really good match. It made me cry, I'll admit, because yeah, just seeing these four guys in the ring for what would be the last time. As of recording, it was just an emotional moment.
Jake Lee's last match as well, and from that time. So we went to that Christmas Day show, and
Oh, you were there.
yeah, like it was interesting because it was a clapping only crowd, but it was my first time showing my son live pro wrestling, right? That was his first live show. And there's some moment at the very start there where it was Rising Hayato versus Kaz Hayashi, which sounds so strange now to say. But Hayato does this dive over the top rope, and we kind of forgot very briefly the fact that it was claps only because both my wife and I involuntarily went, ooh, what he did. Really awesome show as well. If you were looking at this little time capsule and looking at this time of in All Japan, Jake Lee's last match in the company is really, really good and has some of those guys in there as well. So absolutely worth checking that one out.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. I didn't love his last match. I think the Next Dream versus Next Dream one was better, but I don't know. Will we see Jake Lee again? Who knows?
You never know because, like,
Yeah.
the is like he's currently injured. This has been really sad to see. He's been out for over a year. Kind of signed his New Japan contract, and then after the G1, badly injured his foot. He's a tourism ambassador for his part of the world in Hokkaido, and he was meant to be participating in a 5K walk where he'd just be taking some people around for the day, and he couldn't participate because his leg was that bad. So he did the first part where he kind of announced the day and kind of addressed people, and he's still under contract to New Japan. But look, there's always a non-zero chance in wrestling at any point that someone shows up somewhere, you know? So I would love to even see a one-off for him in All Japan. He and Kento did leave it on a note there where they both said one day down the line, we'll have another match with each other. So they've laid the groundwork there for something. I hope they get to capitalize on that one day.
Like, I mean, just look who this month is about. It's about Go Shiozaki, you know? Like, if
Yes.
he came back, basically anyone could come back.
Exactly. And it's the thing about him too, with the whole thing about that, I don't know, is it okay for me to, I guess we're in the middle of this point here. There's more to say about Go, but should I leave it off until the end when we talk
Let's
Iron
just
Man?
quickly get it over the All Asia tag match and then we can talk all about Go.
Which was also awesome as well.
Yes. Go ahead with the All Asia tag match. Like, if you want to start, please.
The problem with it is that we've had so many good All Asia tag team title matches this past year that it starts to be a bit like, how do we enthuse about this in new ways? This one, I think I like the one where Musashi and Yoshioka won the belts a little bit more than this. That's a great match as well, but this one was still really, really good. And I'm hoping we get to see, I know that they will be in tag league, so Hayato and Atsuki teaming together, I hope we just keep getting to see that that team, because that was a really good one and they were great here too.
Yeah, I just want to start off with like there was a lot of slapping in this match, which connects to the press conference. Because everyone was slapping Musashi in that press conference. But like this was so good. Musashi and Seki have just been a fantastic get for the junior division, and just how much they elevated and how good they are. Asuki and Hayato are a really, really good tag team, still young, so they're gonna grow. And like one day they'll win these belts because they have tried for so long, these two. They also have a couple of really cool double team moves, which I don't think they had before. So I think with Tag League coming up, you know, they just want to get some double team moves in. So I'm all for that. So Musashi reversing Hayato is like package pole driver kind of looking move. I don't know what it's called.
Oh,
And
sorry.
almost, sorry.
That was very similar to a move. Sorry to interrupt you, but Kota Ibushi did this move, and people call it the bastard driver, and I can't not call it that whenever I see that. To me, that's what that move is called.
I just you unlock something in my head. I'm like, yeah, remember. Like, yeah. I remember that, yeah. But Musashi actually reversing it and almost getting the three count. Like I jumped up. I thought like that's it. The ending to it sequence from then on was fantastic, but it's like what you expect from these four. Like these four have carried the junior division this year. The junior division has gone from strength to strength, like we said. And I think these four, especially Musashi and Seki Yoshioka, are responsible for it. So, you know, two thumbs up for them. At the end of the match, so Shota Kafuji was our next to challenge. He came out by himself. He then revealed his partner. It would be Hideki Suzuki. I think the team has something to do with cats because Hideki was like meowing and hissing. And like poor Musashi got the worst of it. Like, I don't know, maybe Musashi's a dog person, doesn't like cats, but yeah, we have a cat team versus Musashi and Sekiyoshi Oka next. What do you think of this?
I couldn't stand it. I just, I know there's going to be a certain amount of goofiness and everything like that, but I feel like we've got just enough of that whenever we see like Hokuto going out, or whenever we see like members of Baka no Jidai, which I know technically Hideki is in, but just this guy is such a badass wrestler and is so good in the ring, and I feel like I don't, and I know he's going to be a little bit goofy. That's his personality. That's cool. But I felt like this was just too OTT for me. I'd like to see them rein that back with Suzuki.
Yeah, I just, I don't.
Such a good tag match as well. So great. And then to have it go from that to the goofiness afterwards was just a bit of a, I don't know, a bit of an awkward thing exchange for me.
Yeah. I think like with Hokuto Goon, like you know the goofiness to expect with them. So you're just like, okay, this is how they are. With Baka no Jidai, it's a bit stupid and it's just like, are they even still together? Like they were just like pulling members out from nowhere. Like Kengo Mashima, you're in now. Yuko Miyamoto, you're in now. It's just like who is actually in and if they even are still continuing. And then just like this cat thing. I think I know Suzuki likes cats because he always posts photos on Twitter of his cat or someone's cat. Maybe he'll come out with like whiskers drawn on his face. Who knows?
God damn it, don't make me like this now. That sounds so damn wholesome, and it's great. Yeah, so that's the thing sometimes with Old Japan is as things I don't always enjoy about the company from that standpoint or whatever. And then by the end you hear about it, you're like, damn it, okay, I'm in. The cartoon, the You Bastard, I'm In. It's a bit like that.
Oh,
If it's doing this because he's a cat person, he's doing that because yeah, it's I'm not saying I like it now, but I can see that. But yeah, I mean, this should be ultimately a good match too. Like, you just know that those four are going to do something good together. And also the team of Shota Kafuji and Hideki Suzuki, part of their bond is being both wanting to pay tribute there to a mutual fallen friend, and very hard to kind of think about these two guys without also thinking there about kind of the person that we lost and stuff. So that's an interesting dynamic, really.
Yeah, and like I said, like Kafuji's gaining this huge opportunity. He's having these single matches. Like, it has to be a trial for if to join All Japan.
And I mean, both of them being friends of Taishin Nagao as well, or at least both of them paying tribute to Taishin, it's kind of one of those things where it's a bit strange to see the comedy aspect of that as well, but maybe my brain's just not good at comprehending multiple things at once.
Yeah. I didn't really read anything about this match. I just watched it and saw like Hideki act as a cat with meows and hisses. I'm just like, okay. Maybe it's because I'm not a cat person. I don't know. It's
I'm not
just
either. So that's, I mean, if Hideki acted like a dog, I'd be like, yeah, this is fine. What are you talking
I
about?
should have got a cat person for this episode.
We kind of talked about it a little bit already, but anything more to say about Yuma against Ryo Inoue? Yuma Anzai versus Ryo
It was good, but I just want Inoue to win. Go back to like the trunks and the jacket. I kind of feel sad watching Inoue because I know he deserves better. And like I said in my predictions, I think he'll win a belt by the end of the year, and it's what, like 2 months out.
They've got to speed that up a little bit, but I felt that way watching this. And like every time there was like a near fall where Inoue did something and Anzai was great at this at kicking out the very last moment, I found that very sad. I was like, I just want one of these to count and took for him to get the win. I'd love to see these two have matches forever against each other. Like, I could never get sick of this pair.
Like this time last year, Inoue was destroying Anzai and like ripping out photos of Anzai over his like lifeless body when he was lying on the mat. I'm just like, we gotta bring that intensity back that he had last year. He was
I
like beating him up in press conferences. Kendo's like, should I pull Inoue away? Should I like
hope
leave him to it?
that was so good too. And just Kento not knowing what to do as a dynamic is so rare. Yeah. I mean, the other thing too is with all of that, I hope that in a way it's not a lack of intensity for not being motivated. He seemed motivated in this match. I hope that he doesn't lose motivation this whole thing and that ultimately it will play to his story.
Yeah. Like I really, really like Inoue. I like made a beeline for him when I was there at the start of the year to get like a meet and greet with him. Everyone else was in the life of Kento. I'm like, no. I need a meet and greet with Inoue.
I had basically met Kento the previous May when I was there for the Sendai show, and
Oh yeah, you sent me that
I
photo,
didn't
yeah.
think to go to him then, and I had my son with me, and it's like, plus we're showing a friend of ours that had just arrived around the venue. Like my friend Dave had never been to Japan before this, so this was his first trip to see Korakuen Hall and everything like that. So when we're there, it was like I got to show Dave around a little bit, and I've got to take my son in. I can't really stop, and I'm kicking myself that we didn't stop still just to meet with Inoue because he didn't have that big a line at the time. We could have even done it, you know. He is so good. If we get a chance to, we have to on either the second or the third at Korakuen this time around. I'm sure like taking my son there with him won't be an issue. I'm sure these guys are pretty good with kids.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking Yeah, like who's gonna be there this year? Like, oh, sorry, next year. Like, who am I gonna meet this time? Like, I hope Yuma, because the last few times I've been, I've got a photo with Yuma Aoyagi. So, like, keep it going 3 years in a row. It'll be pretty cool.
As a tradition every year.
Yeah.
Someone who was really good with my son actually was Hartley Jackson when he met him. My son has a speech impediment. He's got a childhood apraxia of speech, which basically the brain knows what he wants to say, but he couldn't always say it. But he's been with a speech pathologist like twice a week for a few years now, and he's just killing it with his pronunciation. But every now and then, when he's really like overwhelmed or something, or stressed or something, and he just can't quite find the words to say. I think we all have that to some extent. So he just kind of froze up that little bit with Hartley, like seeing him, and Hartley could not have been cooler about it, you know?
Oh yeah, like Ali Jackson's a really good one. I was in the line for Anzai last year. I'm sorry, this year. I keep getting confused last year, this year.
It feels like
So
last year.
yeah, I know. So I was in the line for Anzai with my sister, and my sister has Down syndrome, and some people look at her weird and like, you know, kind of back away from her, but like she was waving to Hartley Jackson, he was waving back, and they were just like having a little chat with each other. So yeah, he's a really, really good guy.
It's a shame we have not seen him really since in Old Japan. He's been getting those New Japan bookings, and so I guess he kind of goes with, you know, the bookings that he gets and everything like that. But I'd love to see them book him again.
Yeah, I can see him showing up in like the New Year's shows because they always go crazy.
That'd be great. You know, I think I love just seeing him get as many of these things as he can get as far as bookings everywhere.
Yeah, because he's been working in Japan for a while now, yeah.
He'd be up there in terms of his because I think he started with 01, and it wouldn't surprise me if that was the I haven't really got anything to back this up. It's a bit of a blind spot here, but I wonder if that was like when they were doing the 01 Max stuff in like, you know, the mid 2000s kind of thing.
I don't know anything about 01, sorry.
Oh, that so they went through a time period where they had a rich owner, and he would just book anyone that was foreign. Like Dylan nearly got booked with 01.
Yeah, I know that story, definitely.
I'm sure he's told you. And this is during that time. So that was the context for Hartley getting booked there. But I don't know if it was the exact same time or what, but not to make this a 01 podcast. But yeah, look, he's definitely done shows with them recently, well, relatively recently as well. So yeah, he's here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah. Hartley Jackson, good. Moving on from Hartley Jackson, let's just say he's a good guy. Let's move on to the main event. So I just want to just add something really quickly. So All Japan actually released on their YouTube Kento versus Go from 10 years ago. Everything makes me feel so old now. So they released it in the lead up to this match. It was only out for a limited time. So they have privated the video now. So if you missed it, like, sorry, but there's got to be other ways to watch that match, to be honest. So if you want to watch it, I'm sure you'll find it. Kento coming out with the original three belts that made the Triple Crown. It was very, very cool. It's always going to be cool. I thought this match was a lot of fun. I'm a fan of both guys, so I really like this. I loved Go throwing a lariat into Kento's knees, and I want to see more people target the legs, just like Kengo Musashi did at not Musashi.
Kengo Musashi sounds like the best wrestler in the world as far as amalgamated wrestlers, but Kengo Mashimo.
Yes, Kengo Mashimo. He did that in the champion carnival and like basically tried to break Kento's knees. So I want to see more people do that. So seeing Go throw the lariat into Kento's legs were really cool, but like it barely made an impact. I'm just like, you got to do it. Like Kento, sell a little bit more with your legs. The machine gun chops, lariats, and just anything from Go just got me. Like I haven't seen it in so many years. So just like hearing the machine gun chops like on Kento's chest was, I was just like, yes, this is what I want. It wasn't really edgier seat stuff, but it was still like a lot of fun. These two just have so much history. And they haven't met for so long. And seeing the anger I had for Go over the last two shows made me wish he wrestled more aggressively. Kind of like Look at like Nomura versus Honda from the last show. Like it doesn't have to be that crazy, but like just a little bit more aggressive. I think Kento was just wrestling a normal Kento match without any like additions onto it, and I think he could add the aggression. But like, what do you think?
I agree entirely. This is probably actually my match of the year for All Japan.
Oh, really?
Maybe even like, I actually, it's either this one or because I watched it live. The thing about it is, like, people say live bias is a thing. I don't believe that. Wrestling is all about what you enjoy. And so if watching the event live means you enjoy it more, then that's not a biased take. So my personal favorite match of this year is either this one or Yuma Anzai versus Shitaro Anzai. What, we're inventing new wrestlers here. Ashino Anzai was maybe the
I
matchup.
knew you were going to say that. I knew it.
Yeah, it's one of those two. It's either that one or this one, because again, we did not expect, or who could have predicted at the very beginning of this, when we're in Korakuen Hall, if someone turned to you and said, by the way, before the end of the year in October, there's going to be another show here and it's going to be Go Shiozaki challenging Kento Miyahara for the Triple Crown.
Nah, I'll
None
get
of those
fucked.
words.
Like,
Would not expect those words in that order. And
no. Like Kento Miyahara Triple Crown, yes, but Go Shiozaki, no.
yeah, it just, so in a way, it makes some sense. You know, he'd been perhaps on the margins of Noah for a little while, he'd been injured a lot. And he's perhaps at a point in his career where he wanted to reassess some things, ask how much longer he has going, and if he was at that position he needed to be while he was in Noah. There's been a lot made about the controversy surrounding his exit from Noah, but I feel as though people are just kind of reading into the fact that wrestlers tweet in kayfabe, especially in Japanese. In Japan, the wrestlers there, if they tweet something, don't take that on face value, is all I would say about that. You know, people are saying, well, you know, Marufuji said that, well, he would not put a jersey on Go ever again. It's like, you mean that storyline that they had in Noah for so long, where Marufuji did not trust Go because Go had left? That was kind of 10 years ago now, or close to it. And to think that he's playing to his storyline and that these fans then take that as, wow, Marufuji went and shot on him. You know, it just betrays a real Western reading of Japanese pro wrestling.
Yeah, I feel like the same thing when Nakajima left Noah. There's like all these rumors circling around about why did Go leave? Does he have heat with Marufuji or anybody else in the back? It's just like I don't know. Like I don't really keep up with Noah, unfortunately. So I don't know what's happening there. I know wasn't he like left out of a couple of tournaments?
I mean, yeah, so he was, you know, the thing about that though was, he'd just come back from injury, and he'd been injured and out for quite a long time. And then it's like, so then he did not go into the N1 victory tournament. And it's like, yes, he didn't immediately jump into a grueling tournament. That makes sense. And he lost a match, to Haru Toki about who would get into the N1 for that year. And it's like, so he put over a young guy so the young guy could go in instead of him. And I thought that was, you know, so clearly this was a deliberate choice and something he probably had some say over. So I don't think that had any bearing on his status. I think, you know, I think really here, he said before that also he has a particular way of wrestling, and that's a way of wrestling he was taught. That's the kind of style he came up with, the old Noah style, he's kind of how he's referred to it. And that's the style that he did not see necessarily championed right now in Noah. And so he wants to take that wherever he goes. And it's like, we saw that here in the Triple Crown match. And it works so nicely with Kento's match as well. These guys worked well together. I want to see this match again, damn it, at some point. Like, put it on the 31st of December, and for all I care, I'd go see that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people thought it'd be at a bigger show. Like, I hope it's on the 31st December. Make up for last year's Triple Crown match, definitely. But as soon as Go joined All Japan or just working with them, All Japan released a message like just saying like a request to our fans like don't pursue wrestlers by vehicles or foot like. Stalking their family, like no lurking near venues or the offices. persistent contacts or threats on social media and harassment or stalking and just like more stuff like that. And I know something happened to Go in Noah. I just hope it's not brought over to All Japan. Like, I hope Go being in All Japan hasn't really riled up some fans and stuff. I know, I don't know if this is petty, but I saw one tweet by a big Noah creator who said, like, he'll come back licking his wounds. I'm just like, shut the fuck up.
The thing was, actually, that's what I kind of wanted to speak on, really. The idea there was along the lines of, once he's consulted with himself and thought about what Misawa would want, he'll be back. And it's like, well, and look, all due deference to that person and stuff like that. This has been something he himself has said. Go has questioned before. When he first left Noah and ended up in All Japan the first time around, he questioned, is this something Misawa would want? But that's because the turmoil surrounding that exit was to do with the fact that Kenta Kobashi was released from his Noah contract, and Kobashi went to All Japan and was initially going to be the All Japan president, but that did not end up happening. So in all that turmoil, and Go also probably facing a situation where he still had not quite 4 years removed from the in-ring death of Misawa, post-traumatic stress disorder, and he probably had all the kind of depression that came with those circumstances. I don't think that's the same situation right now. He's out of his contract, and none of that is surrounding him now. And the other thing I really want to say about this, and then I'm sorry, I've taken up so much time
No,
about it.
please. Like, this is why I love having you on. Like, just go. I don't care. Just go.
I want to hear your thoughts on this too. Shiozaki, sorry, okay, book plug alert here. I go into this in the book, but Shiozaki is a product of the Noah Dojo. He was trained by Misawa, Kobashi, and by a few other trainers, and one of the few people to actually graduate from there. And so Misawa, my book is really in part about Misawa's philosophy of pro wrestling, which is freedom and faith. That's the title of the book for that reason. It's not a right-wing American Fox News book about freedom and faith. It's a book about the philosophy of pro wrestling Misawa had, which is you can do whatever you want as long as you take responsibility for it. So, and Misawa's other aspect to that was, if you don't want to be in Noah anymore, the company was built out of people leaving somewhere and going somewhere else. So if you left, you could leave and do so with no malice and do so without there being any ill will. If the way you want to do pro wrestling is better done elsewhere, you go do it in that other place. And that was the philosophy when Kenta left to go to the United States. He did so with Noah's blessing. He eventually ended up back in Noah. So as part of what Misawa would think about this, if Misawa was alive, I'm sure he would welcome Go going and pursuing his style of professional wrestling wherever he thought that was going to be. I don't think that would be something that Misawa would have a problem with. But either way, we can't really put our thoughts and our perspectives onto someone who's not here anymore. Misawa died in 2009, and I think would have, if he had lived, a lot more important things on his mind than one wrestler leaving. Anyway, that's my rant on the topic. I don't know what your thoughts are.
No, I agree with everything you said, and I don't know if this is insensitive, but like, can people keep asking, like, is this what Misawa would want? I don't know if people should still be asking that about their careers and about what they're doing. I don't know.
Like Misawa, what Misawa would want would probably be some time to play video games, a cigarette, and some pornography. Like, let's not assume what we know that it was much deeper than that.
Like, sometimes you just got to do what's best for you. And even if it's like leaving, the company that trained you, that raised you, that, made you a champion, that's all you have to do, unfortunately. Sometimes things just don't work out, or you have a new opportunity and you want to pursue it. Hopefully people don't hate you for it. I don't know. People thought, Go would be in Noah forever, especially since his catchphrase was like, I am Noah. And now he's in All Japan, and bloody Yuma Aoyagi saying, "Oh, your catchphrase should be 'I was Noah.'"
That was actually really cool though. As far as that went, Rachel had a really good point about that, is the full translation was, you should say, "I was Noah, we are now All Japan." And in the way he said it was not like a diss, it was actually quite a sweet thing to say.
Oh, that's nice. I see. I think everything comes out of Yuma Aoyagi's mouth is just like bullshit. Because
True.
yeah, I've been with this man for too long. We know how he's like.
That's true. That's maybe a good presumption to make. It's easy to go, no, it wasn't this time, than the many, many times where.
But like, yeah, that's sweet from Yuma. Like, he has a serious side, and I think Go's history with All Japan as well. You have to like add that in. He wasn't just like kind of like there, like Seki Yoshioka. He showed up and then like he disappeared as quick as can be. He was there for a while and he won championships and he was tag team partners with Kento. It wasn't just nothing.
Yeah. And part of I've gone on about this before as well in other podcasts, but one of the best faction reveals, I think, that I loved in terms of the initial faction he came over with, when Burning went from Noah to All Japan. Like that was amazing.
His current faction with Havoc. So people are saying like they're a heel team. I don't really see them as a heel team. Like they're not the type of team to like run in and ruin a match. Kind of like, Voodoo Murder's looking at you. They were there at the end when Go needed help to, being carried to the back. They were there to support him. I hope they stay like this. I know they tried it with Purple Haze. Do you remember like all those years ago? They had that
Yes.
run in once and then they never did it again.
Oh, geez, that faction too. It's called Purple Haze because it sounds like a fever dream to think about that team, like as far as the members went. But I would love to see those guys back even for one show. Yeah, that's
Zeus
the
and
point.
Izanagi.
Zeus, Izanagi, and quite a few others.
What's his name? Shigehiri Irie. He was there, wasn't he?
Yes, yep.
I love Zeus in All Japan.
Yeah, and I mean, I would have hoped that we would have seen him back by now because he, his whole deal with restarting Osaka Pro Wrestling is that at least they said he will be on All Japan shows when he can.
He just sends a bodyguard now.
Yeah, I think that's all they really do. And it's like, yeah, it's good for him to be pursuing his dream, and apparently he's doing really well with Osaka Pro, but I would love to even see him back for a champion carnival or something like that.
Yeah. He's too busy being the president. Isn't he the president of a soccer pro?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I if we see him again, I'll be happy, but I kind of feel like when Jake Lee left, like how are we supposed to fill that spot? And then like down from the heavens, like Yuma Anzai came.
Yes, like, and they had a match in Noah. It was one of the Monday Magic shows where I can't remember if that was a singles match or if that was like a tag deal, but they were really good against each other, were Jake Lee and Yuma Anzai.
Don't remember that.
Yeah, Jake Lee.
I have, why do I have no
Yuma.
idea they wrestled each other?
I'm trying to think of when the. So it was one of the Monday Magic shows where, like, obviously you had a brief period where, like, All Japan wrestlers would show up on that. So I think we had a couple of other people show up, but trying to find the actual thing here on Cage Match or something. I'm trying to chase it down, but it sounds like a fever dream.
It really does.
It was, yeah, Yuma Anzai did a couple of matches in Noah during the N1 Victory Tournament 2023.
That was nuts. He actually did an N1, I thought.
Yeah. And it was a great point for him too. Like it was a great experience there. No, I can't find this match. It just sounds like a fever dream now.
Yeah, but what are we talking about? Well, I was just saying, like, Yuma Anzai kind of like filled the spot,
Yeah.
and even like Yuma Anzai leaving for the month to do whatever he was doing and not being in the Royal Road tournament. We missed him, of course, but like the company wasn't doomed without him.
No, absolutely not.
Oh yeah. Hokusomori is at the Challenge Kento next, wrestling in his hometown. He's from Hokkaido, so. Hometown boy gets a shot. At least it's not Yuma, because if it was Yuma, he'd lose the belt.
I love that as a continuous bit, though.
Anyway, do you have any more thoughts about like Go in All Japan or this match or just anything at all?
Oh, geez, like, no thoughts, only Go Shiozaki. He had a really good matchup as well. If anyone hasn't seen it yet, I only saw it yesterday. But him against Seki Yoshioka from the Hokkaido tour. That was a really good one-off match that obviously these guys know each other pretty well and they played to that. Yeah, so that's worth your while to check out. And I'm just hoping that like we see Go here in all Japan for the long term. I think there's something about that just works.
Yeah, even if he doesn't sign, if he wants to be freelance, if he's something like, say, like a Naruki Doi or a Seki Yoshioka who sticks around, I'm fine with that. Like, I love Go. He's my
Absolutely.
Noah guy.
Nothing wrong with that. And it could just be where he wants to be at this point in his career as a freelancer, and that is completely understandable.
Yeah. Okay, I know I was going to ask you, what do you think of Go's old partner, Nakajima, tweeting about Kento? And having that one-on-one with Sawama, and Sawama hitting him with like the bouquet, which is just, exactly what Nakajima did to Kento.
I love it. That match, I'm not a huge fan of great. I just haven't watched the product much at all. I watched a lot when they started up with their first YouTube shows, and I haven't really watched it much since. But I love the thought of that match finally happening because I know that Nakajima's wanted that for a while, and I know that as far as all of that goes, I think a lot of people read a lot of things into Nakajima and talk about him in very weird ways. Like they're like, oh, this guy's definitely not a good guy, definitely a strange person. And we just don't know the ins and the outs of the business, and that side of things. And I've always loved his wrestling. And so Suwama has, I think, still got some gas in the tank and can still wrestle really, really well. And I think people forget that. So I think they're going to show something in that match. And, Suwama, we only get to see him once a month or so in All Japan, but he's still technically an All Japan guy. So, I think this is cool that that's happening. I would hope and I would love to see sometime just after the way that Nakajima so abruptly left All Japan, I would love to see him come back for one night only to face Kento and lose to him. I think to have him
Yes.
and Kento just have that final match, I think would rule. A lot of people have said things about that circumstances surrounding, Nakajima's exit, where it's, again, it's not our business. And as much as we love the curiosity and we love the kind of the intrigue, people think, no, Nakajima has burnt bridges, he's unprofessional, that have never met him and would not ever say that to his face.
Yeah. Like,
And
I know. I've said stuff about Nakajima.
it was a dramatic thing, obviously, with all these people leaving. But I won't put that to the fact that clearly the president of All Japan did not have all his stuff together at that point of the year. You
Yeah.
were in Japan at the time it happened. And he brought in Nakajima without due diligence in telling other people that this was happening.
Yeah, and then he fucked up with like the Evolution girls and actress.
Yeah.
Which led Sawama and Tsuji to like be pissed off and leave.
And so I think that could have been better handled. And I think obviously in retrospect, some of the booking surrounding it and some of like the YouTube thing he put together with, bringing Nakajima in, then bringing in an NXT contracted assassin to go after Nakajima and all that stuff was completely unnecessary.
Forgot he called him an assassin.
And like, some of the strangest stuff that Nakajima did as far as the promos and all that stuff goes. But I don't know. I always thought of that as just being the window dressing. I never took that too seriously. There was some intrigue there for a little while, but I personally, I like Nakajima more than a lot of people do. I have no problem if we ever see him in All Japan again. I'd love to see him one more time, to have a better exit than he had previously.
Yeah, I know he wanted to wrestle Suwama, and I thought he is going to lose the triple crown to Suwama. I have a theory. You know how Nakajima was dressed as Inoki during that
Yes.
time? Suwama would come out as Baba and
That
defend
would have been
All
so good.
Japan. It didn't happen. He lost to Anzai, obviously, but that I was like, this is definitely going to happen. This, Suwama has to
Oh,
defend All
damn it.
Japan's legacy. This is like another Tanahashi situation, but many years later.
Oh,
It should have happened.
that's the best idea I've ever heard. I'm cranky it didn't happen. Oh, it'd be
Let's
so, you
see.
could have had the music that Barber came out to, or the even just like the old All Japan theme song. Like you play that as he walks out in Barber's robe and has like the same red tights and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could have had it all. That's
Should have given me the book that time.
give you the company at that rate. That's fantastic. Damn it. Oh, well, what could have been, eh? Like it's just
Yeah.
we got to still see that match that we got, and we still got to see Anzai become Triple Crown champion. So,
Yeah, I think that moment after the match, definitely when he won Triple Crown, is where like it shifted in All Japan. I don't think I know there was so much negativity around Nakajima and All Japan. Like I hated that time being an All Japan fan because everybody, people who have never watched All Japan, people who only have heard of it from the 90s and thought it was dead, said like, oh, okay, this is it for All Japan. They're like, NXT Japan now. They're dead in the company. If Kento leaves, that's it. It's just like I
like
hated being an
Kento
All
never
Japan.
showed, yeah, Kento had no sign of ever leaving.
Yeah.
Kento never expressed an inclination toward leaving. People that think, like, people watched a 30-second comedy segment from, and otherwise, by the way, really good tag match. They had a moment where it's like Yuma, a few other wrestlers, and they all accidentally hit each other in the nads.
Oh, yeah.
And people put that clip up and they're like, what has happened to All Japan? It's like Giant Baba would have booked that spot in one of the undercard six-man tags and would have loved it. I don't know, people forget just how comedic All Japan has always had, like, one of those segments. So anyway, I just think people talk crap about this company that don't watch, and that says it all right there. I have a very like Ruth said a few months ago, I have a very one-dimensional view of All Japan.
Yeah, it's like when I scroll, on Twitter just to see like the fan photos because some photos the fans take are fantastic, and I'll come across like an English tweet. It's like, oh yeah, someone's talking about All Japan in English, and it's always like 90s. Just like, oh, so no one's talking about modern day, okay. And
Yeah,
then
I mean,
if they do talk about modern day, it's just like, what happened to the All Japan I love? It's like, shut the fuck up.
yeah, you're just being a tourist at this point. That's sort of part of why I wrote, the books that I did, was I wanted to advertise to people, the company did not end, and that this thing has continued to have other ages to it after that that are well worth your while to check out. And there's no reason why, something like Suwama against Takayama from 2009. That match deserves to be up there and praised every bit as much as the 90s All Japan stuff. Like, that match was violent. That was stiff. There was blood everywhere at the end. And just shows you how good Suwama is. Like, stuff like that, just needs to have, I know if people are going to do this whole thing with, oh, as such an All Japan fan, then do that for the whole company history.
We have had a fan episode about Suwama I did last year with Simone. Please go listen to that because we talk about that Takayama match. We talk about the Tanahashi match. We talk about two more matches. Like, go listen to that match. Ignore what we say at the start because we say, like, Suwama's going to take over All Japan, then he leaves like the next week. But listen just to us talking about Suwama. Like, please go back and listen to that because it's a great episode. So, moving on from those three shows, we're going to talk about Notes and Tag League. All the teams have been announced and they've been split into two blocks. We have in Block A, Hideki Suzuki and Kengo Mashimo. Hokuto and Kuma Arashi, Musashi and Seki Yoshioka, Rene Abe and Talos, Dan Tamura and Kara Seto, and Shota Ishino and Go Shiozaki. In Block B, we have Zion and Odyssey, Kensuke Miyahara and David Smith Jr., Yuma Aoyagi and Yuma Anzai, Riki Honda and Nai Nomura, Asuka Yagi and Rizin Hayato, and Takashi and Kurusho Tokyo, Japan. What do you think?
Well, it was definitely quality up until that very last team. Like, and look, I love Takashi. You know, I'm not a fan of comedy wrestling. I'm not a fan of so often the goofy direction that All Japan takes if they have more than one comedy match on their show. But I love Takashi. You know, he's just charismatic and kind of stands out to me for some reason. But I just have no real time for Jiro. You know, I think we've enjoyed his entrance live when that's happened and stuff like that. But I'm still like, you know what? I'm not really looking forward to that team so much. Everyone else though, this is a very really otherwise a really, really great lineup. I'm sorry to start with the negative because if you take away from that, it's a pretty great lineup of tag teams up and down and you know, like Shota Oshino and Go Shiozaki in A Block. Ultimately, they're going to, I think, make their way to the final one way. I don't know quite who they will face. I have some predictions there by way of that. I think maybe Honda and Naoya Nomura will have a deep run.
I can see that.
What do you have for this one there?
First of all, just with Jiro, I thought his partner would be Sego Tachibana because it was a couple years ago, and I actually really like their tag team together. I thought the blocks would be a little bit more mixed, actually. I thought maybe some people, like the Yuma team, would blame Block A or something. But I do think Ishino and Go will make the finals. It might be interesting to see a Havoc versus Havoc tag team title match at News War Show. Well, Block B, I don't think Kento because it's Triple Crown. I don't think Zion Odyssey. I can see the Yumas, even though they had already a title shot. Honda and Naomi Nomura like definitely are up there. Probably, yeah, they will win Block B. Like the juniors, like Asuka Yagi, Ryzen Hayato, they might be like a spoiler team, like cost the team a loss so they don't get into the finals. There's always something like that. I just think Ishino and Go taking it out.
I really, really hope it's not Kento Miyahara and David Boy Smith Jr.
They were run up last year.
It would just be a waste, I think, of a slot there where you could have, I think that would what I've outlined would be the ideal final, in my opinion.
I'm happy Kengo Mashimo is back. I'm always like, excited for more Mashimo.
I'm hoping he does some days throughout 2026. Like, I really hope that he sticks around. But yeah, he and Suzuki kind of lost the titles pretty quickly there. I thought that they had a bit more in that reign, but clearly, clearly not. I suppose it may be difficult for them to keep booking Mashimo that consistently if he's defending other belts in other companies.
It is sad not to see June in here, especially because of the, what was it like, record breaking reign they had last year. They didn't lose a single match in Tag League. They won the whole thing. He said like I'm not gonna do Tag League without my brother, which is sweet, but not seeing like the Saito brothers who have been so dominant, it's kind of sad.
Oh, it's clearly a shift too in the landscape. But look, I mean, hopefully they can just have him come back and be healthy, and hopefully the Saitos can just get back to teaming and challenging whoever ends up with the titles after all this.
And another thing, like Rhea Inoue is left out again, He's kind of like the odd man out. I was saying to Luna last month, like the only person I can think he will team with is Masanobu Fuchi. Like who else is there for him to team with?
I would have had him team with Miyahara again because they were a great tag team for that All Asia tag title match. And I thought there was more juice in that team. I love the dynamic of Kento being the one to actually be chill for once and to actually be like, what do I do here? And I just to have that throughout the entire tournament would have been something.
Hopefully one day we get like Inoue, a proper partner. Do you remember he had they did Junior Tag League and he was tagging with Oji Shiba? Remember that tag?
I remember Shiba in All Japan being something I really liked as well.
Yeah, and they had this tag because I think they're from the same area. They were really good and worked well together. And then Ojishiba, I think he got injured and then just like disappeared.
Yeah, they just haven't booked him back in All Japan in a long time now, and he's been doing Tenryu Project, but Tenryu Project is gonna wrap up shortly. He's done Osaka Pro shows, and that's really been it. It's been that kind of thing. Yeah, has not been in an All Japan ring since June of 2023. I think it's a shame because he was really great. He was on the anniversary show and stuff like that, the one that they had in the Budokan. So like he's been on big time shows. I'd love to see him get something at least. Another guy that I hope they should have brought in for this, don't mind who he teams with at all, but I don't know if you remember Kohei Sato at all.
Maybe.
Really like ugly scar down the middle of his forehead.
Oh, was he Twin Towers with us, Suji?
Yes. Yeah. Like he's someone
Yes.
else I'd love to have seen them bring in for a tournament like this as well. But ultimately, we've got a pretty good lineup overall.
Yeah. And I just quickly back to the Reunion thing. Even if you team him with Shiva or someone like that and just have him lose every match, at least he's in the tournament. At least he's part of this. Because, every other wrestler except for June, who says, I'm not going to be without my brother, is in this.
Yeah.
Well, it should be okay.
I'm looking forward to it. I don't necessarily look forward to New Japan's tag tournament. That's often a designated take it easy kind of tournament for them. But I've always found that there's at least a couple of good matches in All Japan's tournaments. Their tag tournament tends to be a bit more unpredictable. So yeah, I'm curious to see what happens here. And definitely I liked what you projected there in terms of an All Havoc tag title match. Like, if that has the right result, then that'd be great. That would be one way of kind of ensuring that you've got the guys that are in Japan all the time having their belts.
So talking about Havoc with the tag titles or any titles, one more little note is Shota Yoshino, Metallica loving, soccer loving boy, has won his first ever single title in All Japan. He defeated Jiro to become the new GROW TV title champion. This happened on the Hokkaido tour, so it didn't happen on a show we covered, but it happened at time of recording, so we just have to talk about
Yeah, it's
it.
so good.
Oh, because I saw him like he was versing Jiro. I'm just like, please let this be the time. Like, please don't let Jiro win again. And I kept refreshing the Twitter feed because this show wasn't live, so I was refreshing just seeing what fans are saying, what fans are posting. And then I saw All Japan posted a picture of Ashina with a belt. I'm just like, yes, finally something for this guy. It was good
Yeah.
seeing that.
That picture just by itself on All Japan's Twitter feed, saying so much.
Yes.
He looked really genuinely happy too.
Yeah, I think so many people just wanted, the best for Ishino for so long. And it's like always a start stop push with him. And then yeah, he's already won like tag team belts, so he's had titles on All Japan before, but this is his first single title. I don't understand why Jiro held it. I don't know why it didn't go from Takashi to Ishino. Maybe Takashi didn't want to drop it. Some backstage politics. Like, I'm just.
Because you couldn't have that much awesomeness in the ring at the same time.
Yeah.
Also, as the we talked about this off air a little bit beforehand, but these guys too, you mentioned it. They've had good matches together before. It's maybe the you call it the Wrestle One connection.
Yeah. I don't know why else they would have good matches with each other. It has to be something to do with Wrestle One, like, let's do it for them. Let's do it for the memory of Wrestle One. Yeah, I haven't watched the match yet. I'm very excited to go watch it, to see Ishino win. Like, I still it like lives in my mind when he defeated Business Tag, I think, when he was teaming with Sawama and he got the pin to get the titles, and just like his arms are stretched up. He's like facing the roof of Corican Hall. He's almost in tears, just how happy he is to get the pin. to win the tag belt. So I'm very excited to see him win the Kuro TV
He, geez, oh, there's so much just good things to say about him as a wrestler. But something that's pretty cool, actually, if you if anyone's seen it, Shining Wizard Designs. So Matt has put out a his drawing of the moment that Ashino celebrated wearing the belt, and that just looks really, really fucking cool. Like, that's just worth checking out. Shining Wizard Designs on Twitter for that picture. Yeah, that drawing that he made. Yeah, look, definitely one of those things where I saw him after that All Japan show on the 3rd of January, walking around, you know, the state, like the train station that's nearest to Kurikan Hall.
Is it over the bridge?
Yeah, you go over the bridge, and everyone that's been there knows the one I'm talking about. It's not the Kurikan station on the other side, but it's the I think is Suidobashi Station. So I saw him walking to Suidobashi Station. He had a big backpack on, giant backpack, and like a Metallica like hoodie on, I think it
He's such
was.
a fanboy. I love him.
And he had his earbuds in, and he looked like he was rocking out at the time as well. And it's like, if you wanted to dress up and cosplay as Shotaro Ashino, you would do what he was doing just then. It was so fucking cool to see. And I'm like, will I say hi to him? I'm like, no, I'm not gonna bother him. I'm just gonna enjoy this image right here. So yeah, just him and Go together as a tag team. Let's get them the belts so we can have three belt Ashino.
Yes, Triple Crown, Ishnu.
There's not even Triple Crown Ashino, it's three belt Ashino, and they can get the Triple Crown from there too.
Be Six Crown King. Just quickly mention how you saw Ishnu at that station. At the exact same station, I saw Honda.
Yep.
All alone. I'm just like, oh my God, Dad, that's a wrestler. He's like, where? Like, he doesn't know anybody's name. He calls Kento Golden Boy, for
That's
God's sake.
awesome because he is the Golden
Yeah.
Boy. That's what I'm calling Kento from now on.
Yeah, but yeah, if you want to see wrestlers, just camp at that station, they'll show up eventually.
I saw another wrestler there. He's in Pro Wrestling Noah as his new nickname. It's so horrible, but his new nickname is Mr. Smack Daddy. He was over in NXT, Yoshi Inamura. And
Oh, yeah.
I saw Inamura. He was on the opposite train station, like side of the train station to me, after he had a really great match against Kenner at the N1 Victory in 2021. I so wanted to go over and say hi to him, but I was just that little bit tired, that little bit starstruck by it. But talking to people about it, I spoke very quickly to a guy that's another big fan of Inamura. And basically he just said, if you go up to these Japanese wrestlers and you're cool about it, you just kind of briefly say hi, be respectful, and then take your cue to leave, most of the time they're gonna be fine about it,
Yeah.
So yeah, I kind of wish I had, but yeah, definitely plenty of rest. Like you say, if you want to see wrestlers, check them out at the Suidobashi station. They'll probably be there after a show.
Oh, I tell you what, go to TGI Fridays next door to Corican. That's where all the foreign wrestlers go, the English
Yes.
speaking wrestlers go.
Maybe we should gatekeep that though, because I don't want too many.
I'll cut this bit out.
It's hard to, I'm kidding, but it's hard to get a spot sometimes. Sometimes hard to get, yeah, hard to get your spot there. After shows especially, it's insane. But
Yeah, because we went after the second or third show. I was with my sister and she was so hungry and it was freezing. So instead of looking for a place, we're just like, yeah, we'll just go to TGI. It's literally right next to Corican if you don't know. And as we sat down, just more and more wrestlers come in, like Hartley Jackson and I don't know, Cyrus was there or something. Just all these, English speaking wrestlers come in. I'm just like, holy shit, Dad, look.
that is right there. That is who we should have had teaming with the one wrestler that has been left out of this tournament.
Cyrus and Inoue.
That would be so such a good tag team. Don't pretend it wouldn't be.
I know I actually had that thought, but I didn't say it. I don't know why. Yeah, definitely.
Like big guy wrestler, small guy wrestler, big dude wrestler who seems pretty laid back and chill in real life. Small dude wrestler who seems like a little prick in the ring. Perfect opposites tag team.
I don't know where he is.
He's being cleared and stuff, and he's about it, and he's signed a contract with All Japan, but just has not been around for so long.
Maybe they're waiting, like, to champion kind of want to bring him back or something.
I guess so. I hope he's back at some point.
Yeah, like, he is loved by all the Japan fans. And like you said, like, I interviewed him, so I know for a fact he is really laid back in real life. He's a really cool dude.
That was a really good interview as well, by the way. And yeah, he just like hear him. It's a fairly rare thing to hear a wrestler who has been in like contemporary old Japan who can speak about it and about the experience in English as well, who will like cop to what the backstage stuff was like. Yeah, check out that interview if you can.
Yeah, so that's our notes. We're going to move on to match of the month and wrestle of the month. For match of the month, I want to give it to Ko versus Kento, but I gave it to Nomura versus Honda just because I love that match. They just went so hard. Like, the middle bit is like the only bit I really didn't like, but it's kind of even, honestly, between Go and Kento and Nomura Honda. What do you think?
My thing was that the circumstances behind Go and Kento and like the match video that they put before that and everything leading up to that just has to give me the edge for me personally. But in terms of match quality, it's very hard to argue that just because Nomura and Honda are just both so fucking good. I do in the end give the edge to Go, but absolutely watch both of those if you haven't already. Yeah, that the only thing I would say, right, and maybe it's contentious, I don't know, but the storyline being Go versus Kento, maybe Havok did not need to accompany him out for the match in that initial part. Maybe it should just be Go doing his own entrance. That's such a small gripe though in this the grand scheme of things. We're really lucky right now. Good time to be watching All Japan.
Yeah, I think I always give like an extra point to Nomura since the last couple of times we saw him, he's wrestled like 3 minutes at a time, like
Yeah.
in Noah and like not even in All Japan and stuff. And you're thinking, okay, can he even wrestle that long anymore? Can he even do tournaments anymore? But here he is wrestling, 15-minute match, just going crazy with Honda.
Yeah, absolutely. And like just demonstrating to us what he can still do and that he can still go. And just there's a match too, right? We have to see at some point is Nomura versus Go Shiozaki.
I was going to say quickly about the Nomura Honda match. If you watched it, you will see like Nomura just batter Honda with elbows. Like, I would be knocked out if he even gave me one of those elbows. It's insane. And then you look on Twitter and he's like at a farm, like picking up turnips and planting crops. He's like the sweetest guy, at this farm. And then in the ring, he just wants to kill you.
That's what we love about these guys. That's why I really like that wrestler I mentioned earlier as far as Kohei Sato goes. This guy, he gives the stiffest elbows as well. Like these two could exchange a competition over that, I think, for the best elbows. And looks so scary. And then his Twitter feed is him with photos of cats. These guys are so wholesome away from the ring, but yeah, like lining up against them, I wouldn't want to necessarily be in that spot.
And for wrestle of the month, I give it to Kento. I think this month just revolved around him, as it should, since he's champion right now, and he goes back. Yeah, Kento.
I've said so much great stuff about Go as far as him being great is what I mean. I'm not saying I said great stuff. I'm saying, stuff about how great Go is. But I'm actually going to go with someone different from my wrestler of the month, believe that or not. Yeah, just I've given Go his flowers. It's so great to have him in All Japan, but damn it, Shotaro Oshino won his first singles title in All Japan. He could do so many great things for that belt that the Garo TV title needs.
Yes.
Him as long as he wants with this belt and make it mean something. So yeah, Shota Roshino is my wrestler of the month for this month.
Yes. How did I forget about that?
Been a
Yeah.
huge
It's, so if you knew, like, rest of the month can be signed or unsigned. So, we could pick Go, and Go was definitely up there. Kento, but yeah, Ishino. Ishino has all our hearts, man.
and look, that's Go's tag team partner anyway.
Yeah.
Can we nominate a tag team or is that cheating?
Nominate a tag team. Go
Yeah.
ahead.
Then I'm just gonna switch my vote. It's Go and Ashinar. Ashigo should be the name.
Ashigo. If it turns out to be that, because I can see it, I'm gonna yell at you on Twitter.
Fair
Hot
enough.
take. Hey, we have Nomuyagi, yeah?
Normal Yagi versus Ashigo. Don't pretend you don't want to see that.
I'm not pretending. Well, we gotta get Nomura and Yuma back together first.
Double Yuma is not bad.
No, it isn't at all.
That's the thing with Yuma. Like, he can team with anyone. He could team with me, and it would be a good tag team.
Oh, this wrestling, man. Anyway, we have reached the end of another episode. I want to thank you all for listening and supporting Jumping Knee Pod. You can find me at Sister Jessie and Roro72 on Twitter, and also on Blue Sky at Sister Jessie. So, where can people find you and talk about your book?
You can find me on Twitter at Jonathan Foy. Same with Blue Sky, and so my book has just finished its Indiegogo campaign. So thanks to everyone that supported Freedom and Faith in its crowdfunding campaign. So that campaign's now finished 285% of its target. So those books will be going out shortly to the people that contributed to that. The general sale, where everyone else around the world, where we can get our hands on the physical copy, will start in December. So keep your eyes out in December for Freedom and Faith will be on Amazon and wherever you can get your hands on it. So hopefully to have more to say about that soon. But yeah, we definitely went into in that one, Goshi Ozaki, his trip to all Japan in 2013, his journey back to Noah. There's going to be more to write about him too. So thank you again so much for having me on so I could be enthusiastic about Go and about kind of how much this guy means to all Japan's history as well as Noah's.
Oh, of course. Like, definitely. Like, I when it comes to like, all Japan and the history of it, I'm just like, yeah, get Jonathan. He knows.
It's just, I've been lucky too, like in terms of the people that I got to speak to for the books and stuff, like people that definitely know more than me. I said this in a piece I wrote to promote the book. I said, I'm just using that old Kanye West trick of collaborating with people more talented than me. And I'd definitely do that for the book.
Oh, please pick it up. I'm sure we'll promote it and stuff to where to buy it, read it. Jonathan does really, really good work, and people should support you.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, we'll see how all that fares when it does come out.
No, there's a lot of bullshit out there when it comes to wrestling, but if someone like literally takes the time to write books, because I've been listening to a lot of authors lately, so I'm getting the sense of just how hard it is. To write a book, it's a lot of effort, and you should be celebrated for it.
Thank you. It's definitely one of those things where a lot of people feel the strain. Like, even big publishers don't always get the money back that they invested in books and stuff. So, yeah, I gotta be out there promoting every chance I get.
You gotta put it on like I hate saying this, you gotta put it on like Book Talk or
Oh,
Bookstagram or
yeah, absolutely.
something.
Yeah. When it's like, we have to find as many crazy ways to promote the things we can.
You gotta start doing viral dances and stuff with a book.
Like what kind of dance could we get one of the wrestlers to do to promote
Yeah.
the
Oh, just put Honda's dance in the background.
that feels like that's easy mode though. Like that's and Honda's not necessarily in the book. I didn't find a way to put him in, which you should for every book, but
It's Kento in the book.
Kento's in the book.
Do put up his dance when he did the Nagata dance.
Okay, so
Yeah.
Kendo is in the book, and yeah, so we have to have like sold. All right, that's a gif, right?
I don't have TikTok, but if you do, let me know. So
Did I just sign up for?
yeah, so look out for that. But yeah, thank you, Jonathan, for coming on. And thanks, everyone. Once again, I have been your host, Jessica, and I'll see you next time for more All Japan Pro Wrestling. Hello, my name is Jessica, and I'm the host of Jumping Knee Pod, a modern day All Japan podcast. Join me and a guest each month as we cover all that went down in the ring, outside of the ring, and everywhere else. Big title matches, tournaments, character arcs, storytelling, feuds, and more. It's all covered on Jumping Knee Pod. Look out for a bonus episode every once in a while, covering a variety of All Japan topics. So make sure you tune in to Jumping Napod. It's a new All Japan podcast for a new All Japan era.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This has been a Countout Podcast.